You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of November 29th, 2023, and this week it's Call of Duty Weaponized Nostalgia. My name is Scott Chester.
And this is a serious but a humorless conversation about video games. We're back from the Thanksgiving holiday.
Isn't it funny how when you're an adult, the holiday, instead of being a cozy time to sit on the couch and play video games, is a stressful time to travel and spend money.
I wish... This is going to sound terrible. I wish I could just send the kids, you know what I mean? Like, just put them in a box in the mail, you know what I mean? And be like, if you want to see your grandkids so much, take them for a little while, you know what I mean? That should be the norm.
Cash on delivery.
just mail your children. Is it really so hard? I'm sure rich people do that. Rich people have, like, you know, 5 au pairs and taking care of the kids and stuff.
I mean, isn't that just what, like, you know, Uber is? You just load them into the car and they make it to the to the next destination.
Yeah, but you just tell the driver, drive as fast and as far as you can.
Fly, you fool.
Yeah. So anyway, we're back. Thanksgiving was fun. We had a good time. I hope you all had a good time and spent some time with family, ate good food, all the good stuff. Or if you're in Canada, you celebrated Thanksgiving in October, so good on you for being ahead of the curve.
Then, I mean, that's what I tell my coworkers, because I work with a lot of people outside of the U.S., and I'm like, hey, have a great week. You won't be hearing from any of us idiots in the U.S. Like, it'll be the most productive week of your year, so, like, congrats.
Dude, I mean, it's our one fucking holiday break, you know what I mean? Like, take the time we can get.
Yeah.
All those folks in France are enjoying all of their fucking bank holidays and mandated leave and stuff.
I mean, I was thinking about, you know, the holidays kind of get me thinking about, it just gets me thinking about games that we have played and the kind of nostalgia and the comfort gaming that we often do. Yep. And I saw there's been a few things throughout the month of, you know, November or so that have hit that, it seems like maybe now more than ever, companies are kind of figuring out the line of, like, oh, we can monetize this familiarity. We can monetize nostalgia and, like, package up a game that is that hits those chords, that familiarity that people want, you know, that coziness, if you will, of the familiar. And so a few of these things have come up, and honestly, I've played some other games this year that have definitely, I think, you know, hewn in that direction. And so I just wanted to, like, go through them a little bit.
Callbacks,
yeah.
Maybe Lies of P would even fit that a little bit.
You mean, like, harkens back to fairy tales of yore when Pinocchio was knifing people in the neck.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's an interesting angle to discuss the nostalgia factor, right? Because we've been seeing this for a long time in media. Like, we have re-released classic Disney movies. The Little Mermaid just came out. They're doing Moana live action, which is just so fucking bizarre to me.
Oh, are they? Like, as a feature-length film?
As a feature-length live action film, they're redoing Moana. I don't think Disney plans on stopping these live action adaptations at all, no matter how poorly received they seemingly tend to be. Because they're moneymakers, they're existing IP, like, people recognize them, right? But it feels a little bit weird because we are, at least in the film space, and specifically, like, the Disney film space, right? Like, one of the things that you're tapping into is the aging demographic for whom those earlier iterations were transformative and impactful, right? Like, the reason they launched the Little Mermaid live action isn't because this is the way that the story was intended, right? Yeah, like, that's not it at all. It's that the people that loved The Little Mermaid when they were young have kids now. And yes, they could show them those older films, but wouldn't it be great if we could give them something that's also their own, that now their kids are the ones that are becoming attached to? And within the video game space, and, you know, we can talk a little bit about the World of Warcraft Classic, but or the Fortnite news, right, where they went to, like, OG stuff. But people play games when they're quite young, right? People have been playing Fortnite for a long time. People have been playing like Minecraft for a long time. There are folks that have been playing these games and bonded with them and made friends with them when they were 12 and 13 years old. And they're in college now. They're graduating college, right? They're in their 20s. And re-experiencing this stuff is tapping into the thing that made them first fall in love potentially with video games as a whole, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's something there. I mean, it doesn't... I was thinking about the Fortnite example specifically. Like,
so this is the I guess the season they launched was basically the first season, like the OG Fortnite.
Yeah, they went back to the original map, basically the layout of the original arena, and they had the biggest day ever in Fortnite's history. It was like 40 something million people playing on the day that they released it. And so it's just it's so weird that is their biggest day ever, something going back to the original, where it's like you've already experienced it, but like the pull of wanting to experience it again is so powerful. And I was, to your point, I was looking at, I was like, well, when did Fortnite Battle Royale come out? And I think I was just Googling around a little bit, and it came out in kind of like the 2017 time window.
Five years ago, right? So, yeah. So if you're 13, 14, like you're, you know.
Yeah, 19. That's a big 5 years in your life. You know, that's the difference between you being a freshman in high school and a freshman or sophomore in college, which is light years difference in terms of everything.
Right. And it sounds ludicrous to be like, you have nostalgia and you're only like 20 years old. But it's true. Like, people do it. Like, that's why Five Nights at Freddy's, despite being a terrible film, was fairly well watched by people, right? Like, they consider themselves they're still growing up. The fucking Gen Zers or whatever, but like they consider themselves having grown up in that era. So there is that layer of like comfort and familiarity with it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just really surprised me that was such a huge day for them, you know, for the Fortnite, you know, chapter one release or whatever. And then it's like, well, and then I started thinking about, well, like, well, why? But, and I think it goes to your point, which is, that's a pretty formative set of years for those people.
Yeah.
And it just like is linked to a certain spot in your brain that hopefully you have some fondness for, or at least it's for me anyway, in retrospect, with the benefit of hindsight, it's a simpler time in your life, which makes it easier to look at it fondly. And so it's like, oh yeah, I totally want to play on the original Fortnite map because that was when my friends and I had everything, you know, seemingly figured out, and like, we didn't have as much, you know, we were just more naive and they yearned for that. And it's like, oh, that's the way of doing it. And it's super smart of Epic to do it then.
Right. And we had different kinds of time commitments too, right? Like, I mean, again, maybe Fortnite's not the greatest example, but we see this more with other games. Let's say you were playing a video game when you were 14 in high school and now you're in college. Like, I don't know, maybe your time constraints are different.
Yeah, you know? I mean, by definition, they would have to be, and that's just so. Yeah, I don't know what it's done since then, but it was just immensely popular, which is even crazy because, like, you know, every time we had a peak in Fortnite, I thought to myself, this must be peak Fortnite. You know, this must be, and then they had another one. And it's like, oh well, maybe we haven't had it yet.
But do you think it kind of marks more of like a, I don't know, I guess. For WoW, the WoW thing is interesting because they have the vanilla mode, and they've had this vanilla mode for a while now, but they continue to add on to it and build WoW onto classic. It and bifurcate it, right? Like the WoW classic thing. Yeah. And then you mentioned like permadeath and hardcore mode, which I think is super awesome and is kind of its own separate thing. But for something like Fortnite, these moments of where you go back to me strike me sometimes as maybe like death knells for the experience, right? Like, is it that they are reaching a creative dead end? And you know, like, let me go back to the simpler times idea, right? Because I think this is another reason why sometimes these sort of nostalgia plays are a little bit more complicated in video games than they are in movies or other fiction, right? Which is to say, games as they go on become more and more loaded and full of feature creep as a result, and it can become overwhelming for players, right? Like, And this is true of people who are actives. Like, let's say you were actively playing Fortnite, and there's just so many new maps, and there's all these new updates that it's becoming challenging for you to keep up. Yeah. You might want to step back and say, I'm going to stop playing, or I'm going to take a break, or I'm just going to go back to what is comfortable, right? Quite literally, what is simpler from a mechanics perspective, an experience perspective. It could also be for lapsed players, folks who have stopped playing entirely, for whom, you know, I've taken a break from, say, Fortnite or League of Legends or Rainbow Six or something for several years, and the thought of going back to these games is daunting because I'm out of practice. I don't know what's been going on. Like, how many new characters have been released in Apex Legends and new features and new maps, and I got to learn all this shit again? Like, that's terrifying. But when you have a moment of, hey, let's go back to the old map, the one that you know that we haven't touched or changed at all because you played so many hours on this, there's, I think, a lowering of the barrier of entry by virtue of going back to those simpler and more easily understood moments in time that you can capture, right? I think that's why it was its biggest day ever, because you had current Fortnite players plus lapsed Fortnite players.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't think...
They're all, like, they have a common platform now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's great. I think it's a really, like, cool moment. But I don't necessarily think it's the same thing as bringing them back permanently, right? Yeah. And I wonder if, in fact, for something like maybe Fortnite, maybe this isn't true for Fortnite, but I think sometimes this is true for other games, that it marks this maybe like inflection point where you realize, oh, the current state is too complicated or has become a morass or is too unwelcoming for the longevity of the... of whatever game this is.
Yeah.
And by bringing us back to simpler times, we're sort of buying ourselves a moment of respite to, like, figure out what's going on, you know, and how to do this properly. And
my thought, so the platform's gotten so big that it's unwieldy and you have to, like, kind of, you're trying to find solid ground, and solid ground is the proven.
Yeah. I was thinking about this actually, because, the other day we got our heater inspected, and, for whatever reason, all of the people that have come and inspected my home are fucking nerds. And the guy came into my room and was admiring my Magic the Gathering collection. And he was saying that he used to play Yu-Gi-Oh! And he stopped.
And you're like,
nerd. Well, literally, I mean, it's a perfect example of this case, because he was saying he wants to get back into it. He has some friends that are playing it. And he even bought some packs. But was like, I don't know what's going on. The mechanics are crazy. People are winning like turn two. It's not for me. But I have a friend who's playing an older format that has a cutoff date, right? This exists in Magic the Gathering as well, right? Like pre-modern, right? A constructed format which only allows for a subset of the overall lifespan of the card release. So in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Case, for him, it's an appealing entry point as a lapsed player. To go back and say, okay, I'm going to play Yu-Gi-Oh, but I'm only experiencing the sets as they were released within this given period of time, and there's a cutoff point. And maybe you add them back in, and that's what WoW's been doing, right? Like, you can slowly sort of add things back in as you grow comfortable again with the game experience. But to just get back into it at all, it does behoove you to trim it down when you've got an experience that has lasted so long. And I do think we're reaching that point with some of these video games that have been out for years and years and years, right? Like, Fortnite's been out a lot. You mentioned, what, five? I guess you said 2015?
Yeah, 2017. Yeah, so it's kind of like a 5-year,
Right, but like Rainbow's reaching 10 years. Like, CSGO 2 just came out, but like that whole CSGO game has been, you know, in its current state for quite a while now. And at some point you reach this moment where you go, you know, damn, like maybe we need to change things up. League of Legends is another example too, right? Where like they haven't done anything like this really, like an OG version. Yeah. I would not be the least bit surprised if they did. But the one strong point that League does is that they kind of do pretty significant resets between each year. And so it's not the same thing. And sometimes they simplify and dramatically change or wheel things back, but they're not going to like roll back all of the patches and changes that they made to certain characters per se. Although maybe they could and maybe they would.
Yeah. I was, I was thinking about that. Has it gotten too complicated? And I thought about my own opinion on, sports games and fighting games.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like, one of the reasons why I played a little bit of Street Fighter this year, Street Fighter 5, was...
Six?
Sorry, six, yeah.
Yep.
was because it's close enough to the, has enough DNA of Street Fighter II that I can kind of figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you were to sit me in front of, Tekken or something like that, or if you were sitting me in front of any of the, you know, other kind of like Marvel games or any of that stuff, like fighting games have just gotten past where I'm at. And even Street Fighter has gotten kind of past where I'm at, you know, all of the various parries and, you know, overdrive mechanics and all that stuff. But like, there's enough of that, especially depending on what control scheme you pick, that it does simplify it a little bit for you. And you can kind of get back into that feeling that you had, and like it kind of replatforms you a little bit. Yeah. And I would think about that in terms of like something like Madden or FIFA. It's just, it's passed me by. Like it feels like it's gotten so, and I'm happy for them in a way, because it seems like they're just doing more and more with those games every year. But it's just kind of past where I've been able to keep up with it. And so like, what if they were to do like Madden, you know, 93 instead of 2023 as like a gimmick or something, you know, in that game, like, would you get people on there playing online of like the Genesis version or the Super Nintendo version of Madden?
Yeah.
Cause that's where they are. Like that's when they played it. And that would be the nostalgia factor that brings them in, not because it's just looks familiar, but because it's mechanically familiar.
I think that's spot on. I think you probably would find an audience, right? BattleBit Remastered, a game this year, which is the sort of voxel, it's almost like Roblox version of Battlefield, is kind of the same idea. I mean, it's not officially Battlefield, but it's the same thing, extremely toned down, right? Extremely simplified graphically, but also mechanically, to bring you back to that moment when it was so much easier to just hop in, understand, and like get that dopamine hit playing that experience in a way that isn't sort of like bloated by the feature creep or power creep that you might see from, you know, a modern game, you know?
Yeah.
Does this allure you at all? Like, you mentioned Madden, but like, if they did that, would you buy into it? Like, because I think about this from like a film perspective. I talk a lot of shit about the like constant nostalgia drive, you know, because to me it's a tedious and often unjustified attempt at capturing something that the people who are today making it don't actually understand what made that special in the first place, right? Like, even the modern Indiana Jones like rubbed me the wrong way, right? Like, I'm the type of person that would much rather let IP just die than redo it. Yeah. You know, I'm excited for the live action Avatar: The Last Airbender, but also if it didn't exist at all, that's also fucking totally fine. Like, I don't really care, you know. But sometimes I am drawn to it. I can't think of anything off the top of my head from like a game's perspective that would really like trigger nostalgia for me. But I don't know how many experiences would actually bring me back outside of, say, something like republishing, you know, a game that I love that is just no one plays and it's hard to get into again, right? Like Battlefield 1943, which I spent a ton of time playing. If that game re-came out now on the PlayStation 5, I would check it out. But I'm not the type of person that's going to be fucking excited for The Last of Us 2 remastered. Like, it just, that's not the type of person. And we're stoked about the Final Fantasy 16 games, but only, or sorry, Final Fantasy 7 remakes, but only because they're doing fucking nothing like the originals, you know? Like, they're abandoning it, and that's what's so exciting about it, you know?
They're specifically messing with the nostalgia instead of serving
it. Yeah, they're, like, subverting your expectations. They lean into that nostalgia a little bit, but they're subverting it. Yeah. So, you know, what games to you would scratch that itch, or are you kind of, I feel like you're probably more like me, right? From, like, a nostalgia perspective where it doesn't really move the needle for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely gravitate more towards like thematic callbacks versus, you know, there's a remake of Super Mario RPG that just came out recently, and I would like to play it, but I would particularly like to play it with the kids, but
is that out already?
It is. It came out like a week or two ago or something like that. Yeah, it's being well received, but the thing that is clear about it is it's a very faithful remake. in terms of, you know, just how the game is structured and the mechanics, you know, they didn't radically change things, which is, you know, fine, but I think it's more valuable as almost an accessibility piece, because, you know, it can be a little, it's not a great example, because I think you can probably get Mario RPG on some of the like virtual stuff, and honestly it's really easy to emulate that stuff now, but like there's a certain, I respect some of the remake stuff just from a like a preservationist aspect almost, where you're just kind of like bringing things up to speed and repackaging them, but not trading on the nostalgia. It's kind of like when they redid the Shadow of the Colossus, you know, the full remake, not the re-release, where, you know, they didn't fundamentally change that game, but they just kind of reinterpreted it as if, you know, it was made, you know, during the PS3 or PS4.
Yeah,
PS4
so era, it's more about like quality of life changes and like visual refreshing rather than like a huge overhaul.
Yeah, like I could see that more, whereas something like...
Well, that's a good case too, though, because it's hard to even play those games. Like, there's not a digital version that is maybe easily accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah, unless you want to pay $100 a year for the Sony streaming service or whatever. Yeah. But I think stuff like the you know, Fortnite Season 1, or we were talking about the... Modern Warfare has now gone through a full cycle of Modern Warfare 1, Modern Warfare 2, and Modern Warfare 3.
Totally.
Literally the same title.
Well, no, because I think one is like the number 3 and the other one is like numerals, right? The Roman numerals.
Maybe. Are they doing the COD Blops version of that? Yeah.
I think that's like how it's working, yeah.
But it's the same thing, you know, and they even have some of the same maps, and, you know, that game is kind of getting some criticism. I'm not close enough to understand, like, people are mad at that current Call of Duty game. I don't exactly know why. It seems like some of the multiplayer stuff, and it seems like they only had a short time to develop it, so there's some shortcomings. But that stuff feels more like SEO stuff than actual I don't know. It just feels like, oh, we're going to trade on this name. People really like these Modern Warfare games. We need to circle back to something that we know people like. And there's a class of people that are going to buy it no matter what, because that's what they do every year. And there's a class of people that we can probably rope back in, and maybe we could retain some of them, and then we can try it again. And that stuff is a little bit more tiresome to me, because it doesn't feel as reverent. It just feels more opportunistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine myself being like, oh, sick, I'm going to play the Modern Warfare 1 2020 or whenever they 2021, whenever they released it. Because it's like, you're just, I can see what you're doing. You know, it's not, I don't know. There's something that is not as genuine to me about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder also how much of this is driven by a desire to rekindle the relationships that you find in these games, right? Like Fortnite and WoW, both in particular, are notably multiplayer games that relationships are forged in, right? Like I've had many, many, it's such an interesting thing, right? Because I played WoW for years, hundreds of hours into that game.
Yeah.
But I haven't touched it in such a long time that it feels almost like a phase in my life, right? Like I think back about, in the same way that I reflect on like college as a monolithic experience, right? High school, it's like there's the WoW days when I played WoW, right? Like those were moments in time. And I think if there was a way to rally those players again, I could easily see myself being drawn back in, because so much of those experiences were not great just because of the sort of mechanics. It was great because it was a zeitgeist that you were participating in, and you had friends that you were playing with, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it feels like it, especially when there's so many competitors now in the multiplayer gaming space, it's hard to have that, right? Like we even have it with TV. Like, it's harder now to have everybody on the same page of what people are playing. Every now and then it happens, like we'll play Valheim a bunch with some friends online, right? But like, it's a more rare experience.
Yeah.
And being able to turn back the clock and have an excuse to get folks to jump in is super compelling. But it's not even something that needs to be related to that nostalgic thing per se, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
This could be something else entirely. Like, you know, I mean, maybe I do think there's something to say for the simplicity of it, because you don't want to have to relearn a ton of things when you come back, yeah. when you bring people back. But what if there was a WoW expansion that was like, hey, this is a totally new WoW expansion, new content, but you can only play as four classes and they're the OG classes, right? Like, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. from a gameplay perspective, it's simpler. It's new content, but it's more accessible, right? Yeah. Like maybe those would sort of scratch the same itch for a lot of people.
I think that's a, if they could crack that, and I feel like this is, there's an alternate reality where, ad driven social media didn't take over, and instead it still focused around, you know, topic based things like, oh, this is my EverQuest crew, and like, this yep. is my social network. Like, I think that's a great point, because like, that's what those games were. It was a social network of people, just like on a much smaller scale than what we kind of eventually, yeah. you know, landed on. But if they could, but I think that's their hope, that they can get you and the boys can get back into this thing. But in order for that to happen, they need to make it so accessible that they literally need to use the same title of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It needs to be hyper accessible, where like you could just pick it up as if it were 2009 again.
Yeah,
down to the literal title of the game, and you know the
specs on your PC,
the maps that yeah. you know the different guns. Like, you know, there's something.
But it's not like I remember that intimately well. Of
those maps, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's true, and I'm sure it would come back to me. Like if I jumped into WoW. And I did jump into WoW Vanilla briefly, and it certainly was like a flood of familiarity, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's hard. I guess it's hard not to be drawn a little bit to the familiarity, nostalgia factor of it, you know?
It's also, yeah, I mean, there's just there's the allure of just like when you look at old pictures or look at old CDs or something that you have of just like, oh yeah, here's like a part of my brain that hasn't been firing for a while that like remembers that stuff. Yeah. And then I think there is the like, you know, the time and place and the people that you were with like get tied up in that stuff. And
yeah,
even if it's not there, they still, you know, they can still loop you back in for a little bit. And maybe then you know, the goal I'm sure is to like help re-platform you, you know, like help for re-onboard sure. yeah. you and yeah. and keep you going. It hasn't happened for me all that often. Like I can't think of a game that I've
put the down. Nostalgia bait.
Yeah. And I mean there's definitely like nostalgia plays, but like it's more self-directed where it's like I haven't played. When I was playing all the Mario games this summer with the kids, you know, I was like, oh, I haven't played Mario Galaxy for probably, you know, a decade or more. But, this is extremely alluring to do now. But it wasn't like a marketed nostalgia thing where it's like there's such a heavy marketing nostalgia thing happening right now with all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I for me, so much of it feels impossible if the friends aren't there, you know, like yeah. I can't imagine. And it's getting easier. And I think for our generation and like the younger generation in particular, where so much of the gaming communities have bifurcated onto Discord, where yeah. they're like little Discord communities based around YouTubers or other followers where people can like get together and play. Like I'm in a Discord group with some friends that I used to play like RPGs with that, you know, if all of them were like, hey, we're getting back into WoW, I would join them for sure. Right.
But don't say that out loud. Blizzard's yeah. listening.
but, at the same time, right, like if there's not that critical consensus,
yeah,
then I just don't think I'd ever buy into it. I don't think it could ever be brought back unless it felt like it was back again, right? So
yeah.
you know, another sort of era that I often think back to that for me was like a gaming highlight was relatively recently, those I guess it was probably what, a year or two, where I was playing Postscriptum, that World War II game
yeah.
with a group of like hardcore shooter simulator people, yeah. right? And a lot of those players have moved on to other games, and that game community has died down a little bit, and that Discord isn't active anymore. And so that group of people just doesn't exist for yeah. Postscriptum. So I could play it, but if I don't have that crew, it's yeah. never going to be the same experience, right? Like, if anything, my only hope is to continue to chase and find those new experiences, right? And that's kind of, I mean, we're bad examples because you and I do a podcast and we're little old podcasts with, you know, dozens of listeners or whatever. But like we're still at a point where, I don't know, there's a part of me that constantly wants to see new things, you know, and wants to find the new thing. Like I want to find the next thing that adds to that great moments and great memories of gaming, you know what I mean? And I have a hard time believing that I can find that by revisiting an old game that I left behind years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a certain just forward-looking, like we revisit old games, like our nostalgia factor is far more like academic in nature, where it's like we're going to revisit a game because it was influential or it was unique at the time, or our ongoing experiment of playing Journey every year, you know, whereas this stuff is more.
Or like Bloodborne, because just cause I love those games so much. Yeah.
I mean, that's almost a like, it's not even nostalgia.
I haven't stopped playing it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like actively.
Yeah.
Whereas if we decide to play, I don't know, what's a Chrono good Trigger. Example? Yeah. I mean, or like Half-Life just had a 25 year anniversary. Yeah, 25 because it was 1998. That's going back to a game because of a historical curiosity versus a personal nostalgia. And the personal nostalgia is tied up into it. It's the reason why we like replayed Chrono Trigger, replayed Earthbound, all that stuff. But I just haven't been, nothing's really got me back on a purely personal level in the way that these big games are trying to get you. I don't know what it would take. I mean, there's something to be, I don't know. I feel like I'm the same as you. Like I'm kind of looking for something. I'm looking for a reverence or like or like an acknowledgement of some of the older games. Like, I think that's why I like the new Zelda games so much, is because they're like explicitly calling back to the oldest Zelda games in many ways, but they're their own new thing.
It's like it's a continuation of the conversation, right? Like, which is always something that we're looking for, right? Which is like the games that speak to this long conversation that like artistry takes as it progresses, you know?
Yes.
I think the permadeath stuff in WoW is really interesting. Like, that is genuinely something that could pull me back. I did that Nuzlocke run of Pokemon. Yes. That brought me back, right? But it is... That is such a different experiment, right? Like you're taking something that you thought was you were familiar with and adding something that is such a significant twist on the formula that it makes it into a new experience. And that to me becomes what's enticing, right? It's not the fact that it's WoW and I can live it again. It's that I can take something that maybe I know and see, does adding the single mechanic drastically change the experience? I can tell you from the Nuzlocke run, it does. For better and worse, right? Like, so that's probably true there as well. But again, exactly like you're saying, it's not just an emotional pull. Like, there's some sort of academic element to like what's attracting me back to there. And I do wonder how many people, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder like how impactful is nostalgia? Like, did Fortnite have the biggest day ever because people just pined for it? Were they just missing Fortnite, or was it that there was a lower barrier to entry and their friends were playing it and it was a weird experiment, you know, like, I don't know. I'm trying to give human beings a bit more credit, not to say like, I want to shit on nostalgia as a driving factor. I think there's a lot of strong reasons to want to revisit something that is comforting to you, you know, and spend time with it. I think that's totally valuable and justifiable. But I just wonder also in video games in particular, if it's a little bit more complicated than you would find in other mediums, you know?
That's fair. There's this sounds silly, but like the interactive part of it will always make it a little bit more complicated than just like, hey, it's the Lion King again, you know, because you could still call it, I don't think this is what they did, but like you can still call something, you know, well, actually, I think they, you know, they did this with God of War. Like, they called it God of War, but like, it's highly different than the original God of War. You know, they're just kind of like soft rebooting. But you couldn't get away with that, I think, in a non-interactive medium as easily, because it's not, you don't have that interactive differentiation. You know, you have to do all your work off of the story and the visuals and stuff, you don't have that other dimension of interactivity that you can differentiate yourself and use nostalgia as a tool rather than just as like, you know, a way to just, you know, capture people.
There's definitely, I mean, yeah. Did you see the latest Top Gun, by the way?
I didn't actually, but I heard people liked it, but I didn't. It's
very good.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that because I couldn't parse whether they liked it just because it was, hey, remember Maverick, or was this actually a good movie?
It's a very good movie, but it's also, I mean, again, like it's a perfect film for this conversation because it is purely driven by nostalgia, but it is so on its face about that, right? Like,
yeah,
Tom Cruise is literally saving franchises, right? Like Tom Cruise is trying to single-handedly maintain an era of filmmaking where major top billing celebrities like Tom Cruise did their own stunts and could bring people to the theaters, right? And it works for Top Gun, and it was one of the biggest films of the year. I think it was the biggest film of its year.
Right.
Kind of out of nowhere, driven so much by nostalgia, but also there's something that's like super interesting from an academic perspective of just like how they talk about it and tackle it, you know, and how the sort of filmmaking is a direct nod to like just a totally different era of movies, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait till Tom Cruise is in the Tom Cruise skin is in the next Modern Warfare game that I can.
Yeah, I believe it.
All right. Well, we will ever forward. So we'll leave it there for now. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. If you want to relive some of our best moments, revisit Experience Points Nostalgia, you can find our podcasts wherever you find podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify podcasts, all those places you can find us and more. Give us a listen. Spread the good word. Tell a friend.
All right. And until next time, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time we